Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Pray for me.
Amen.
The truth of God, the prophetic truth of God, implanted in the hearts of mind of man or woman, results in salvation. Got it? That's what Scripture says, the implanted word. Verse 12. Now when he, Jesus, heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And to those who were sitting in the land, in the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned or sprang forth. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What if this word is really the truth? Just what if it is? What if it really still does today what it did when Jesus walked on the earth? What if, just because we don't experience it, doesn't mean a thing? It's still available to us the same as it was to them today. What if you can truly call on Jesus and he will save you from any trouble? You keep quoting Psalm 34, 18 and 19, Pastor, that many are the troubles of the righteous, but he rescues us from them all. What if that were true? What if that were true? Let's look at this scripture. Last week we heard a powerful word of God that drew us to the cross. When Jesus had heard John was taken into custody, as this says, he withdrew into Galilee. I want to take this and do a line-by-line exposition on the word this morning, okay? I'm not going to try to make any other point. I'm just going to go line by line and try to be courteous of our time. All right? He withdrew into Galilee. I like to go a little deeper in the word sometimes, and I believe that face value study of the words what you need to do. What it says is what it means, and what it means is what it does, and you can count on it, and that's good enough for me. But sometimes I like to go a little deeper, and I wanted to know, does it matter that Jesus, when he started his ministry right here, that he withdrew to Galilee? Would that matter? Do you all know that every word that was written in this book was here for a reason, and he put it in here on purpose, and it's for us and for our edification? Did you know that?
Amen.
Well, then Galilee's got to mean something. And I want to know what Galilee meant. And so I went and looked, and what I found out was Galilee was a little area where there was nothing but trouble. A bunch of little tribes and factions, they were always fussing and fighting. A lot of them didn't speak the same language. A lot of different sects. A lot of different views of who and what God was. They had a Roman garrison in there to keep the peace, for crying out loud. It's like the big police station downtown. And it was an area of real poverty. Real trouble. Galilee. But what it means is this. Circle of the Gentiles. Circle of the Gentiles. You know what Gentiles were to the Jew? Huh?
Dogs.
They didn't like them. And to make it even worse, this area was the lower side of the neighborhood. Yeah. This was not a popular place to be. And it gets worse. It was without hope. This area was poverty stricken. They were racial bigots. They hated one another. And it wasn't uncommon for people to die every week because of these hatreds and prejudices and biases.
Amen.
That's what it was like there. I didn't know that. Did you know that? I thought Galilee probably a place with a little garden and some flowers and white fences. This was nasty. Where did Jesus go to start his ministry? Doesn't that change your view of this whole scripture? It did mine. He went to the Lower East End. If I'd been alive then, where I started in my life, that's where I lived. I used to say, you know, Jesus comes back, he would run to the big churches. No, he would run to my neighborhood. Mike, you in there? Yes, Jesus. What are you hiding from? Lord, you know I live in Galilee. It's dangerous out there. We got drug dealers on the corners. People kill me. I'll come out when it's dark. That was Galilee. It was important that we know that's where he started. And you know why he went there? Well, it's enough that he went there for me. He went there for you. That's enough to know, but it goes on to say, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. It was foretold 700 years earlier that he was coming, and he would go to that very place and do the very things he did, exactly like they were written down 700 years earlier. Man, now that's prophecy. I tell you what, sometimes I pray, if it doesn't happen in the next 10 minutes, I give up.
I'm getting it now, brother.
It is prophetic in its nature. It will come true. Whether you're still here to receive it or you lost hope and walked off and strayed is the question. Do you have the patience to wait on him?
Wait on the Lord.
There's a group of them that couldn't stay awake while he prayed before he went to the crucifixion. By the way, get this now, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Why did they put beyond the Jordan in there? This is amazing to me. I got to looking at that. Listen, folks, just to make this short, anytime you see beyond Jordan, get ready, because something big's getting ready to happen in God's Word. I'm telling you, somebody's getting ready to cross over. When Jacob died and Joseph buried his father,
yes.
His name now Israel. Oh, the symbolism is rich. They buried him beyond Jordan.
Yes.
The nation of Israel was being established.
Come on.
The world would never be the same again as the eschatological clocks begin to tick and run toward the final act close to where we are today.
Yes.
Beyond the Jordan. Beyond the Jordan. It was beyond the Jordan that the 12 tribes were put in place. 10 nations established. The nation of Israel, beyond the Jordan, preparing the way for you and me.
Yes.
Our forefathers.
Amen.
Beyond the Jordan, where John the Baptist started his ministry and baptized Jesus himself. Beyond the Jordan, where Jesus completed that ministry of baptism and prepared the disciples and the apostles to bring the word to us. Beyond the Jordan is a miraculous and supernatural event. And he's telling us here that something big's getting ready to happen because there were people sitting in darkness. Listen, this darkness, what it means is, if you could imagine, the sun would come up and somebody would follow you around all day long, with something to obscure you from the sun. That's what that means. To obscure the sun, a shadiness. Really talking about a moral shadiness.
Yeah.
Man.
Somebody all day long would pump filth into your house over TV.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would... You can't go anywhere. You know what I'm talking about. You can't even look at a billboard and something not being shown that doesn't carry you away. You know what I'm talking about?
Tell the truth.
Amen.
But this is even worse. People were feeding on these people. These people, what this means, let me just cut to the bottom of this. They'd lost hope. They just lost hope. Let me tell you what they had... Listen to me. Don't go to sleep now. This is getting too good.
Amen.
They'd lost hope. Mm-hmm. They decided that where I am is good enough.
Yes.
I've struggled long enough. I've worried long enough. I've hurt deep enough that I don't want to go on anymore. I'll just settle for what I've got. I'm going to settle in. In fact, that word means to settle in, to abode, to make your home there, to lose hope, to not look forward to tomorrow. It's going to be the same as yesterday. Why should I think things would be any different than they were yesterday? That's where these people were in Galilee. How many of us today have given up? This is as far as I can go. God's starting a work in this building, if you can see it with spiritual eyes, that's going to change the landscape of this county and the counties around it. And it's already begun. It's a prophetic word of God when it's preached. Changes everything forever for the benefit of everyone who hears it. I was thinking the other day, man, I want to be around when this happens. Now, if God permits you and doesn't take you home, I want to be here when you guys build that new building. I don't know how you're going to do that. I don't know how all that fits together. But, you know, in my spiritual eyes, the other day I just saw God's glory and people coming by the thousands to hear this word preached, to find hope, to get out of the spot they're in, to quit living the way they lived yesterday, to find purpose and meaning in life, where their marriages are strong and exciting. People aren't drawn to sermons. They're drawn to lives, changed lives, people that love one another, can't get enough of each other. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school for a minute. I told the guy it's like Thanksgiving. You know what it's like when you come home and you got good family, and you sit down around that table and you eat, and you laugh, and you hug each other, and you tell stories, and sometimes you cry together out of joy. You bear one another's burdens. Then the end of the supper comes, and the holiday's over, and you've got to go back to where you came from. Your heart aches. Oh, that was good. Oh, I need more of that. I can't wait till next year. I can't wait to come back. Thank you, God, for family and friends and people that love me and accept me the way I am, but encourage me and push me to higher places. That's the hope. That's the hope. People who were sitting in darkness that had settled in, they saw a great light. Let me tell you, I just got to pull this thing light apart for a minute. Y'all know what light is, right? First thing he's going to do is remove the shade. Whatever it is that's blocking the light from you, he's saying it has arrived. Now, this is one of these prophetic truths that was true the day it happened. It was true the next day. It was true the next day. It was true the next day. And all throughout history, for the last 2,000 years, it's been true every day.
Amen.
And it was true yesterday, and it's true today. Whatever's standing in the way of God's light on your life is now removed. Is now removed in the hearing of your
Amen.
Ears.
Praise
Scripture
God.
Is fulfilled this
Praise
day.
God. Praise
can I go a little deeper?
Go ahead.
It said a great light sprung up, depending on the version you're reading. I thought it was interesting. The light didn't just appear. This thing is a word of action. The light sprung up. The light leapt forward to meet you. The light didn't sit back and wait you to come to it. The light came to you. It reached out across thousands of years of time and space just for you and me.
Yeah.
And it was a violent action. You know, it also means this. I don't know if this will mean anything to you, but I like it. So if you don't mind, since I'm up here, I'm going to take a minute to... It's in the aorist tense. Aorist tense. It's a Greek tense of a verb. And it means it has no regard for the past. They wrote that in the aorist tense on purpose. No regard for the past, no regard for the present, and no regard for the future. It means it's never ending. It continues to go on. What I like about that is I don't have to go and give light permission to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Light's going to come to me whether I ask it or not.
Yes.
And it's going to keep coming to me. And when I get tired of it, that's just too bad. Because there's no end to what this light can do and will do in my life. It's in the imperative. It's an urgent light. It knows our desperate situation. It can't wait to get to us. Scripture tells us that when men do things evil to us and circumstances crowd in on us and bad things fall on us, that God turns those bad things to good things and then chases us down with them and overcomes us with the good things of God.
Glory.
Thank you, God.
My God. Thank you.
May Amen. I didn't know all this was in here.
It's preach.
And the last thing, it's in the affirmative. That means it's the truth. You don't have to like it, and you don't have to understand it. That doesn't change it. It's the truth of God that keeps coming when all odds are against me. It won't be denied. It will achieve its purpose. What's your need today? Is it money? Listen, I'm getting so sick and tired of people telling me I'm a name it and claim it preacher. If it's in here, I don't have to claim it. It's done.
Right.
You got that?
Right.
You don't have to claim something you already have.
Right.
That'd be like me going down to the bank. Now get this. This is how ridiculous this whole idea of name it and claim it. I go down to Bank of Lancaster where I've got my little deposit and walk in and go to the teller. In fact, I met David Dew. He's a really nice guy down there. And he runs a branch. I'm going to say, hey, David. He said, yes, Mr. Young. And I go, I claim it. He says, you claim what? I claim that $98 in my bank account. That's mine. And I imagine Mr. Dew would go, yes, Mr. Young. That is yours. Nope. I claim it. Let it be so. It's mine. Put it in my pocket. Put it in my pocket right now. I claim it. It's mine. And I imagine Mr. Dew would probably call the local hospital. That's about how silly it is for us to say we're going to claim something in the Bible when it's already done. You already own it. He already gave it to you. It's already finished. Now, whether or not you claim it is up to you. It's like the light.
Amen.
You can turn away from it. You can go hide in the shade somewhere, but it's yours. And all you do is step out in plain view, and it's all yours. I may be too tired to finish.
Amen.
And a great light dawned upon them. Megas. Great. Megas. Megas. Big. Big light. Let me read you this. Megas means great and mass and weight. I didn't know light had mass and weight, but apparently... It was large and spacious. This is megas, out of this word from the Greek. It was too long to measure, too high to measure, too wide to measure. It's great and old in stature and age. It's numerous and large and abundant. Its quantity and quality is the best ever known. It's great with effort, with affections, with emotions, with events that powerfully affect our senses. It's violent and strong. It's eminent. It's important. It's excellent. It's preeminent. The light of God. Jesus says, I am that light. And He has shown up in our hearing. You know, it's a prophetic word. I think that's enough for today. It's the prophetic word of God. I want to say something now that Jesus kind of said it, and they grabbed him and took him out in the yard. I'm asking y'all not to do that to me. From that, I probably got pastor nervous here, but from that time that Jesus appeared, Jesus began to preach and say, repent. From that time. You see, he'd shown up. He'd done the work. It's complete. Only thing left to do now, he had to go to the cross. He had to go to the cross. But he says, in the meantime, what I want you to do is to repent. For the kingdom is now at hand. Mm-hmm. Listen to me.
Amen.
Listen to me. Repent. I used to hear preachers preach on this, and they would say, repent means to turn and go the other way. Well, if you hadn't changed your mind, you're not going to turn and go any other way. You might do it for show, for people to see. Forgive me for that. Waving my hanky. But until you've had a change of heart, your change of direction is temporary. See, we heard a powerful message last week and people were invited to the cross to receive Jesus and His salvation, His sozo, the things that makes us healthy and whole and safe now and forever. Repent now. Listen to his words. Repent. Change the way you think. How do I do that? How do I do that, Jesus? I accept you're the light. I want what I'm hearing. But how do I do that? What do I change my mind about? I believe that you're God. Is that good enough? That's good enough. If later you folks want to go to Matthew and read through, I want you to just listen. He says, I want you to change your mind. I want you to repent. Look at it later. But in chapter 5, verse 20, he says, I say to you, the same people, that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, listen to me, you're not even getting in heaven. Okay, all right. So what do I need to change my mind about, Jesus? And the chapters that follow, chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9 of Matthew, I would suggest maybe you take a look at that later.
Amen.
But if you're angry with your brother, just a couple, I'm going to take you to court, God says. And if that makes you real good and mad, and you call him empty-headed or fool, you're in the dangers of hellfire.
Amen.
You got a brother or a sister that you're on the outs with? Careful. Change your way of thinking is what he's saying. This is important because it leads us somewhere. To a conclusion to this message, but it leads us somewhere in life. I remember one time I was on the way to Lynchburg because I was being sued. I was accused of copyright infringement. I hate copyright infringement. First of all, I don't know what it is, so I don't know how I did it. But then when it was explained to me, I realized I'd been tricked. The guy says, sure, use it. But it said, in writing only. And he gave me a verbal. I couldn't prove it. So they're going to sue me and put me out of business and take my business away from me. Pretty good. The world is full of lies. On the way to Lynchburg from Richmond, just a testimony, God stopped me. Halfway up, there's a, used to be a truck stop or something. And I pulled in there and I started praying, and God revealed to me this scripture. He says, make friends with your adversary on the way to court, lest he throws you into prison. This word is what? True and prophetic. Well, I don't want to go to no prison or jail or anything else. So I said, God, tell me what to do. He says, admit your fault, receive your punishment, bring me the glory. Amen. I said, well, that's not me. I'm flesh. That's not me. You want power?
Amen.
You want deliverance? Do it. So I went to the meeting, and a guy pulled out his big briefcase. That always intimidates me. Snap, snap. You know, the snaps coming up on a briefcase. And he opens it up, and all this official-looking paper is showing, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I got a little briefcase, and it doesn't snap. How do I compete with this guy? I can't even intimidate him. And I don't mind him. I got comic books in there, and he's got official papers, you know. So he snaps it. So I left mine closed and put it on the ground. And he says, here's what you're accused of. What do you have to say for yourself? Listen to this now. And God said to my heart, do what I told you. You never do what I tell you. Do you think God speaks like that? Is he Jewish? You never do what I tell you, Mike. Do what I tell you. It'll work. And I said to the fella, guilty. Now, he's the guy that tricked me. He knew what he'd done. I said, guilty. He said, you know what we're going to do to you, right? And I said, boy, I hate that. He said, well, it's too late. We got you. I said, you do have me. And I'm guilty. He says, you have anything else to say for yourself? I said, I do. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I was wrong. They're going to eat me. They're going to cut me up in little pieces and eat me. They're probably going to smear mustard on me, put me between two pieces of bread and have me for lunch. It's over. My faith wasn't working. You ever been there? This is a silly religious exercise. They're going to eat me. And it was silent. And I look up and the guy is, his face is like white. I said, what's wrong? He says, it took a real man to do that. I said, that wasn't man, trust me. Hey, what do you mean? I said, that was God. On the way up here, he told me to do that. He says, only religious guy I know is Jerry Falwell, and I don't like him. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. Just get this over with, will you? He goes, man, that took a lot of nerve. He says, oh, man. And he slams it shut, and the two sweetest sounds are snap, snap. And he got up and he left, and I've never heard another word.
Thank God.
So, I'm here to tell you that in my pathetic life, God honors His Word. Even when my faith wasn't strong enough, and even when I knew I was in deep trouble, and I knew I was in trouble, the light dawned. And you know what else it said back there? They saw it. And sometimes that's hard for me to see it. But we have to, folks. Scripture says they saw the light. So how do you see Jesus? You know, Jesus sees you as a champion, a precious one, a lamb, a brother, a sister, someone worthy to die for. And He did, and redeemed us at a high cost. That's the crux of the matter. How do you see Jesus? See, I see Him as a Redeemer, my Savior, my strong right arm, because I don't have one. I use His. He's the lamp unto my feet. He's the wisdom. He's any good thought I'll ever have. He's my courage. He's the rock under my feet. How do you see Him? He's my Father.
Amen.
He's a hedge round about me. He's a covering over my head.
Hallelujah.
He's my buckler and He's my shield.
Yes.
He's my mighty counselor. He's the mighty God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. He stands by ready to take you out of any difficulty. And like Scripture says, put you on high with Him. Yes. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You. God, just thank You that You remind us again that Your Word is the truth. We can depend on it. That Your Word is prophetic. When it's implanted in our lives, it results in our salvation. Thank You, God, that You gave us the great and honorable task of demonstrating this before the world. To make disciples. God, thank You for that. Thank You that we now have a better understanding that it's not what we do. It's what You do. It's not about us. It's all about You. Thank You, God, that You draw us. You save us.
Thank You.
You fill us. You commission us. You call us. You empower us. You send us. And You even bring home the harvest. Thank You, God, we can just be part of the family, available and useful.
Right.
Listen, would you all bow your heads and eyes, everyone, for a moment? There may be someone here today that just never had the opportunity of accepting Christ into your heart. I want to give you that chance now. Somewhere along the way this morning, you may have had this little tug in your heart, a little small, quiet voice say to you, you know, boy, that's where I need to be. That's what I want. I don't understand all this religious stuff, but I just need help. I need a Savior that understands me and that will take me like I am and would welcome me to Himself, that would clean me up and give me a fresh start and a new life. Something with meaning and purpose. If that's you this morning, I'm going to invite you to pray with me. You know, I'd just like to ask, no eyes, no looking around for a minute. If there's just one, even one, that needs Jesus in your heart and you'd like to take that step this morning, I'm going to ask you, just slip your hand up and back down. Just quickly up and down. I'm not going to reveal it to anyone. I'm not going to make it known. But if that's you, if you would just slip your hand up, just let me know. I'll pray for you now. Thank you. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Okay. Father, you just pray after me. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I confess I'm a sinner. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for forgiving me. I invite you into my heart. I ask you to make me your own and save me. And thank you for what you've already done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor George.
Amen. God bless you. If you got a blessing, get God's hands out of prayer.